Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It is Joe Beamer filling in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday as we continue to kind of go over what happened yesterday. You heard David talking about it the last 4 hours, and we'll spend some time on it today. But looking at different aspects of it, you know, yesterday we focused a lot on the security of the school, protecting the school. Had a lot of great calls yesterday, and again, we'll have the phone lines open at 803-0930, star 930. But I think there's a lot of different ways to look about this, and we will break that down here on the show. Now, to start the show today, we have the Director of Safety and Security at the Niagara Falls City School District, Brian Del Porto, to kind of talk about, take us inside the school. Brian, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Brian, you know, when we see these videos and we see the surveillance video of how the shooter shot their way through the school to get into the school, when you see that, what's the number one thing that needs to be addressed from your vantage point?
Well, I think school districts in general, and I think, you know, a caveat by saying I think we've done a pretty good job in Western New York, but school districts really need to put an emphasis on safety and security the same way they do their academic curriculum, and spend as much time, effort, and resources on safety and security, and it just can't be an afterthought. You know, I don't know that anything would have prevented someone making access to that school the way that we saw in the video. However, there are some products out there that definitely mitigate those situations, slow people down until the police or staff can take some type of action. So I think the big takeaway from this is, you know, security for the schools can no longer be an afterthought or a secondary thought or someone's additional duty. It really needs to be prioritized as much as any type of academics or curriculum.
Now, I want to get back to that, but first, you know, take us through the Niagara Falls schools. What are the security measures in place during a typical school day?
Well, first and foremost in Niagara Falls is we limit access to any of our buildings, right? So no one without authorization is allowed in our buildings. Even if it's a parent dropping something off for the students, we have a staff member meet the parent at the door, take whatever item is, and deliver it to the student. If you were to come in through one of the doorways because you were buzzed in and had access, we have weapon detection systems and metal detectors and security officers, all of which would have to a person would have to pass through. We have identification systems where people's license gets scanned. They get vetted through the database. They get printed out an ID badge that they have to have with them. So I think right at the front door, really the first step is, and it has to be a layered approach. The first step is really restricting any access to the school. Secondly, the policy and procedure, making sure no doors or windows are propped open, everything is secured, and if someone is coming into the school, that they're properly escorted. Once they're inside of the school, passing through security, either security machines, security officers being escorted, I think is essential. And honestly, I think in this day and age, schools that don't have it really need to look at relationships with the police department, whether that's an SRO program, hiring their own security. But really, like I said, it really can't be an afterthought. It has to be prioritized properly, and it really has to be the number one priority is keeping our kids as well as the staff safe to provide that learning environment that we really want to. And in Niagara Falls, you know, we have it locked down. And then additionally to that, you got to be doing the drills, which I think by and large most schools are. Lockdown, lockout drills, active shooter drills, certainly a great relationship with your local police department. And I can tell you in Niagara Falls, we have a great relationship and with the Niagara Falls Police Department, the Niagara County Sheriff's Office, the New York State Police. So we work with all of them to make our schools as safe as possible. And I think you do need to react when something happens, when any type of threat comes in. You need to have staff that are trained that can react and put the school into different type of security postures depending on the level of threat that the staff as well as the police department deems necessary.
When you talk school officers, is there armed security at the school?
In Niagara Falls, we have armed security. We have two SROs at the high school. We have a Niagara Falls police officer at each of the middle schools. And then we have what we call officer of the day, where we'll rotate. We contract with the police department where we rotate officers into the different schools, depending on what's going on and each school's needs and depending on the events or, God forbid, any type of threat. So we have a great relationship with our police department, and they are a great partner to us.
You know, you talk about propping a window open, and we've heard with these school shootings of side doors being left open. We had a teacher yesterday text into the show that happens quite regularly at their school, where someone will notice that a substitute teacher left a door wide open. Is there something in place to check that? When I was in school, I had a free period. Now, I don't know if they even do that anymore at Amherst, but when I was at Amherst, I had a free period, and if I was late to class, I would just go knock on the closest door to the classroom, and someone would push it open to let me in. Is there anything to, get the message out there that these doors cannot be opened unless it's, a fire?
Well, we're currently in the process of installing mechanisms on every door and every window. If they are to be opened, that immediately a camera will go to the opening door, as well as an audible alarm. My personal feeling is the audible alarm is really crucial because it's an instantaneous alert that door is open, and it also keeps the unintended consequences from happening. And a lot of times, people will prop open a door for what they think is a harmless reason until somebody comes in that wants to do harm to the kids or the staff. So, and I always say, we can spend millions of dollars on security systems and weapon detection systems and bulletproof glass and all these things that we're working on, but honestly, one rock in a door and a door propped open, we might as well flush that money down the toilet. And really, that comes down to training, because I think a lot of it really is unintended consequences. Somebody, kid or a teacher props a door open for whatever reason, it really could have bad consequences. So I think education is a big part in training, and that's why I think that plays into the overall security plan of the high school, training staff and the students.
You mentioned bulletproof glass, and yesterday, obviously, the images of that front door or that door at the school being shot, shot out so the shooter could get in. Is that something that any of the schools currently have? Is that something that's been discussed?
Some schools do have it, and it's absolutely something that we're looking at here in Niagara Falls. In the specific case in Nashville, I don't know that it would have totally stopped the person from making entry, but it definitely would have slowed them down. It definitely would have caused some alerts to go into place, and I think it would have mitigated the situation. So, but again, these are things that, cost money, but I think it needs to be prioritized in all schools. So there are things on the market, and we've been exploring all of them. And thankfully, here in Niagara Falls, our superintendent as well as our school board, very receptive to implementing these changes that are needed. Because you have to remember, especially here in Western New York, I just got asked this question today, like, how come there's windows and how come the doors have glass? These schools were not built. No one was thinking in the 50s and the 40s and even the 60s of active shooter situations. Since Columbine, we know the rules have changed, and it really is on everyone's mind. So now we're backstepping, but we really need to pick up the pace moving forward with the physical plant security of each building.
You know, you guys have the security, as you mentioned, at the schools, and you're the director of that. But we have a lot of schools that don't have any kind of security, that have really nothing like this in place. How did this come to be in Niagara Falls?
Well, working, you know, I'm retired from the Niagara Falls Police Department. I'd worked with Superintendent Lori for years. We had met when there was some issues going on at the school district, and he recognized the need for someone to be in charge of security. And I think it's really good on the Niagara Falls School District to recognize that, because teachers, principals, administrators are great at doing what they do with the academics and the good running of a school. But security really is a separate avenue. And this is what I do. This is what some people do. This is our profession. This is what we live and breathe. So when I approach something, I approach it from a law enforcement security standpoint that maybe is a different mindset than what the teachers or the staff are thinking. So, and I just think having good, healthy conversations between security, law enforcement, and the academic educational staff really pays great dividends to locking down a facility and providing that safe environment for the kids and the staff.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing to me, Brian, that there are school districts that don't have something in place. You know, I was talking about this yesterday. It's obviously a reality that none of us want, but it is the current reality of what's needed, I think, at schools when you have, you know, this is happening too common. And it's just amazing that we haven't gotten to this point in more schools having that kind of security.
Well, you're right, and I can guarantee you, you know, any type of active shooter situations that we've had at these schools, the school district, the school thought it could never happen to them. Unfortunately, these things do happen. So we're better off planning and trying to lessen the situation, make it as safe as we possibly can, and even deter the situation from happening in the beginning. So again, it's certainly an investment, right? School districts, superintendents really have to, school boards have to pledge to make that investment into the safety and security. But I do think moving forward, any school districts that are thinking security is an afterthought, I think they're mistaken. It really needs to be part and parcel, equal to any type of academic curriculum in any type of conversation that we have. Even the sporting events, right? The facilities that we have for sporting events where, you know, not to have security. Things happen at these events, and we need law enforcement and security at these events. And it's definitely an investment, but I think it's a good one.
You know, from your viewpoint, because this came up a lot yesterday too, from your viewpoint as director of safety and security, what is your feeling on if a teacher who was licensed and trained wanted to carry? Do you think that would be a help from your view?
Well, I do think, I think everything at this point, security-wise, with the situations that we've dealt with, especially this year, look at how many we've had this year. I think we've had 19 active shooters this year in this country. That's an extraordinary amount. So I don't think you take anything off the table. However, I do think it's got to be right for the school district. It's got to be right for the community. Everybody has to feel comfortable. And the folks that you are arming, if that is the situation, have to understand what they're getting themselves into. It's not only I have a pistol permit and I have a firearm and I'm going to bring it to school and I'm the gym teacher. You know, just like police officers, if you're going to introduce that firearm into a school, you have to be trained on how to use that firearm. You have to be trained on how to retain that firearm. If there's any type of physical confrontation, you have to be trained in the laws in Article 35 of the New York State Penal Law, when to use physical force or deadly physical force and when not to. So there's a lot more to it than just saying, you know, we should arm teachers, we should let parents come in and be the security. I'm not saying take it off the table. I'm saying these conversations can happen, but there's a lot more to it than just arming teachers. There's a lot that has to go into that and a lot of hurdles that it would have to be cleared. I would say by and large, once that conversation's had you know, if it's right for the district, it's right for the district. I think in a lot of cases, you'd be better served contracting with your local police department and having security professionals if that's what they do. Again, because I don't know, you know, you'd want to be teaching social studies class and be worried about the security of the school. I think that's a separate profession, and I think we should have those professionals inside of the schools to do it.
Brian, on a day like today, and obviously without giving anything away, but on a day like today, after the shooting, after a school shooting happened somewhere else in the country, is security heightened around schools?
Sure, absolutely. Everybody heightens their security posture at the schools when they hear anything like this. And really, in this day and age, you know, your security posture at the schools has to be elevated anyway. But I think, you know, you want to, there's a fine line between making the students and the staff feel comfortable and providing a safe environment and one that's completely locked down. So depending on what's going on, really depends on the level and posturing of your security that you would have in place. In Niagara Falls, we can move up or down the security settings on our weapon detection systems. We work with our local law enforcement. Like a day like this, it makes people feel good that there's police cars in the area and checking on the schools, and, you know, just having the school administrators around talking to people and you know, hearing what they have to say in regards to security, I think really helps. But anytime something like this happens, working with your police department and the district is really the way to go. And here in Western New York, we're very lucky that we have two crime analysis centers in Erie County and Niagara County that are constantly monitoring these threats and monitoring social media of anybody that were to threaten the school. So pretty quickly, working with the crime analysis centers, the police departments, and even our federal partners, any type of threat that comes in locally, we're on it pretty quickly. And you know, we have pretty good results with mitigating the situation.
Final thing, anything that, you know, came to mind after yesterday you wanted to bring up that I didn't get to?
You know, really the biggest takeaway, and I know I've said it a bunch, but I'll keep saying it, school safety and security really has to be a priority in any of the school districts, and I think we're remiss if that's not the case. Having folks that their expertise is in safety and security, I think pays big dividends, and it's a big help to the school districts. But the days of just letting it slide or letting security be an afterthought, I think are gone. And I think we have to start thinking and planning for worst case scenario. And usually if we do and we plan for worst case scenario, usually we get pretty good results on the other side. So that's really the big takeaway here from today. And I will say, me working around Western New York, the school districts in Western New York are very security-minded and very good with working with their local police departments on this. So I think we're in very good shape here in Western New York, but there's always room for improvement, and it can never be a stagnant thing, right? The plan always is evolving. Your security is always evolving and moving forward. So I just think it really needs to always be in the foremost part of people's mind, safety and security of our kids, as well as the staff in these schools.
Brian Del Porto, he is the Director of Safety and Security. Brian, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks, Joe.
That is Brian Del Porto, and he makes some excellent points. And again, this is someone who knows security, right? Former police chief. I mean, he knows the in and outs, and, you know, you want to feel safe when you send your kid to school. And I think having security and the plan that they have in place that he described to us, I think that can be a blueprint for every district, right? And as he said, it's evolving, right? It's evolving every day. You know, new things have to go into place. New measures have to be taken. I don't understand why more school districts don't do the same. I don't understand why this isn't a common thing at all schools. It seems like when we have something that we had yesterday, I know I said this a bunch yesterday, and I don't want to keep repeating myself, but when you have a school shooting like yesterday, you've got the people that only want to focus on one thing or the other. And, you know, hey, you want to have your debates in Congress, your debates in Albany, that's fine. But I think the one thing we can't waste time debating over and can't waste time saying, oh, it's too much money, is protecting our children. That has to be number one. and you see the plan they have in place up in Niagara Falls, and I really don't understand why more districts follow that blueprint, spend the money, because like I said yesterday, if we have the money to protect our politicians, which we should, like David said, which we should, but we have the money to protect our politicians, we should have the money to protect our children. 803-0930, star 930, talking with you when we get back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you again to Brian Del Porto for joining us in the first segment. If you missed any of that, you can find it on demand at WBEN.com and on the Odyssey app. Now, we'll continue talking about this as we, you know, continue to learn more about what happened in Nashville yesterday. And as we discuss, you know, what's next. You know, I heard something earlier today. I've heard a lot, obviously, right? And you go on social media and, you know, here's the thing. I try to see it from both sides. I try to see everything from both sides. But I just don't see this as a political issue. And like I said yesterday, I hate how you have politicians that want to make this their soundbite. And, you know, to the people who are proposing the Clean Slate Act in Albany, I mean, do you really think that's a good idea? You know, David talked about this today. We talked about it a little yesterday. after these shootings, you always hear, well, there were signs. Oh, well, this and that. And I realize that the current, that the recent shooter didn't have a criminal background. But do you really think it's a good idea in the state of New York to even consider a bill that will clean a criminal's record 3 years after a misdemeanor and 7 years after a felony? I mean, there is a reason that we have criminal records. You're telling me after seven years, after being found guilty of a felony, that's okay? That person, no one's going to need that information? I mean, and it's so just, it's so generic, right? Oh, 3 years for a misdemeanor, 7 years for a felony. Again, it's just the way Albany views crimes, just by these two, misdemeanor or felony, not by the different, there's a lot of different felonies, right? I don't want to hear it from people in Albany, the same people who want to clear criminal records after 7 years. I'm sorry, I think that's, what's the word I'm looking for? I think that is irresponsible. But I just do find it interesting, the pushback to what I think is common sense. And we heard it yesterday. And again, I love having the calls that disagree. I love having disagreement. Because guess what, guys? We have disagreement in this country. We all have different opinions in this country, right? I think it's the way we react to those difference of opinions that, frankly, play into just how high the temperature is in this country. And again, you want to have your gun control debate. You want to have those discussions. I'm all for having those discussions, right? But we all know what happens. You get your soundbite and nothing happens, right? That's what happens. Unfortunately, nothing happens. Now, yesterday we had some pushback to what I talked about, what we talked about with Brian Del Porto in the first segment. I don't understand the pushback on armed guards. Now, yesterday the county executive posted something, and I just commented on it. It wasn't to be, wasn't to be controversial. It was just to put my opinion. And I said, every time there's a school shooting, it turns into this finger pointing from both sides and nothing happens, which is unacceptable. Why don't we secure the schools, provide all schools with armed guards? Why don't our children deserve the same protection as our politicians? And the pushback that that tweet got, including people saying, how are we going to pay for it? You know, it's interesting the things that will just get pushed through legislation, the million and millions of dollars we will spend on stuff that I would love to find 10 people to describe why we need to spend, $400 million on it. But you got to ask the question about how much will it cost to protect our kids? Isn't that the one thing that number doesn't matter? I think to the people asking that question, how much is it going to cost? We don't have the money. Frankly, I think you should be ashamed of yourself. We find money for everything in this state. Anything that's popular in Albany, guess what? They find the money for it. We'll tax your streaming because we've got to fund this massive budget. How dare anyone come back with, we don't have the money. How are we going to pay for it? I can't imagine someone with a child going to school every day, or someone with a loved one who works in a school every day. I can't imagine them asking that question. Especially in New York State. I think that's the problem, is that we have been so trained to pick one political side that literally any discussion we have has to go right to talking points. And that's what you're seeing. Like I said, guys, this isn't a left versus right thing. It never should be a left versus right thing. There shouldn't be politicians going after each other in Congress over this. We find money for some of the most useless things in this country. But we can't find the money to protect our kids. That's sad. It's embarrassing. And I think if any elected official pushed back with how are we going to pay for it, they should be, they should be voted out of office the very next time they're up for election. I don't care what their party is. I don't care who's running against them. If your response to having armed guards in every school is, how are we going to pay for it? Then you know what? I just don't think that your priorities are in line with a majority of people in this country. And yes, I do point more to the politician that says that than, you know, the average citizen that says that, because, again, I think a lot of people are conditioned to just repeat the talking points. Oh, I heard this on MSNBC. I'll say it on Twitter. I think that's what we get a lot of. I don't think that should be the answer to why not arm the schools? Why not put bulletproof glass? I don't think the answer should be how are we going to fund it? You heard Brian Del Porto say the things that, you know, they have to do, the money they have to spend, but it's worth it. You know, there's no one on the school board, the superintendent, both agree that the children, the protection of children is worth it. And if you don't think, if you think passing a $400 million, and again, if that's what you're about, that's what you're about when it comes to, you know, environmental protections and stuff like that. If you think it's okay to spend $400 million for environmental protection, I'm not even pushing back on that, okay? But I can't hear the same, I won't accept the same person that wants that saying that we don't have the money to defend our children. That's ludicrous, guys. That's absolutely ludicrous. It's embarrassing we let politics get in the middle of something like this. Yesterday should have been the day that everyone was mourning and everyone was asking, what can we do now? Not who can I blame, not who can I, you know, retweet and curse at. It should have been, what can we do now? That should be the answer. Shouldn't be, well, maybe if we win this year in this election, we'll get this legislation passed. Why? Why not do something now? I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. Why not do something now? You're telling me there is nothing that everyone can agree on now? By the way, we live in New York State. It only takes one party to agree on doing something now in this state. You're telling me we cannot find funding for armed guards in every school now? I don't care if they don't pass a budget till next year. I don't. But you're telling me in all the money that we are spending in this state, $1 billion on the 33, $1 billion for a new stadium, you're telling me we can't find some extra money to protect our children? Again, if your priority is I'm going to repeat the talking points and not do what's right, not do what makes sense, then I hope if your answer is how do we pay for it, I hope each and every person that answers how do we pay for it to that question is voted out of office. And I don't care what party they're in. I really don't. But I was just really disturbed by how many people responded with how do we pay for it. And the pushback from yesterday, again, just making everything this political point. And I said it probably 24 hours ago. I said, watch. In the next day, we are going to see sound bites. We are going to see campaign ads made instead of anything actually happen. And in the last 24 hours, that's exactly what we've seen. We have seen campaign ads made. We've seen the political sound bites, right? Everyone finding someone from the other side of the aisle to retweet and blame them. No coming together. No, this is a tragic day for America. No, nothing like that. It's who can I point to that doesn't have my party's letter next to their name and blame them? That's what it's all about. And that's what we saw on social media yesterday. That's what we're seeing play out on the news, the cable news stations today. No real in-depth discussion on what we can do to protect these schools. It's, well, this congressman said this, and this congressman said that, and this senator posted this. Instead of looking at the fact that someone went into a school and killed six people. No, we're seeing who in Washington can we blame? We're seeing the White House push back to a complete political party. We don't see any ideas for arming schools. We don't hear anything about schools being more protected, living in the reality that we are in. No, we just sit here that it's the other side's fault. That's what we see. And it's exactly how I said it would play out. So I'm glad Brian Del Porto joined us and gave what I think is a blueprint for all schools. And the fact that we can't agree on that is, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that we cannot agree to arm each and every school, have an armed guard, increase protection at the schools. 803-0930, start 930 if you'd like to get on, if you'd like to tell me what you think. You know, another thing that I think we're reminded of after something like this is really how mean and hateful people are. You know, I remember after, you know, I forgot what I was trying to say here. But, you know, after something like yesterday, like I said, it should be a day that we come together. Right? It should be a day that we say, what a tragic day for America. What can we do better? But instead, all we see are hateful attacks against people that don't agree with us. Right? That's all we see. We see people on both political sides just hateful because of a difference of opinion. And, you know, we talk about how hot the political temperature is. Well, you have some people that is their entire day, is fuming about their disagreements over politics. And we've really gotten so hateful about it. You know, I go on Twitter, and the things I see people say to and about each other. I mean, when we say we need to cool down the political temperature, we really do. Because Some people take this stuff way too far, take this stuff way too, well, I was going to say way too seriously, and look what happens. You know, I find it funny, or at least I find it interesting, that people who claim they're against hate, stop all hate, are some of the most hateful people on social media. You know, I'm against any kind of hate. I don't think anyone should be judged based on their race, based on their gender, based on their sexual orientation. I don't think anyone should be based on that. I don't think anyone should be bullied because of that. I think we should all be treated equally, right? I truly believe that. But it is interesting, the people who in their Twitter profile talk about, you know, end hate, against hate, love, you know, love everyone. Let me tell you, they're not sticking by that love everyone motto. Because if you disagree with them on one thing, they can be the most hateful person you've ever had a conversation with. We don't have conversations anymore. We just yell at each other. We get upset. We get ticked off. We hate someone because they're in a different political party. That's insane. You know, hate is supposed to be kept for monsters that walked into that school yesterday. Hate is supposed to be kept for monsters that walked in the Tops May 14th. That's what hate is. You shouldn't hate one another because you have a difference of opinion. We shouldn't hate one another based on, well, I voted for this person, you voted for that person. And I think that's a big problem in this country right now, is how much we hate people because they disagree with us. And you really see it play out on social media. But guys, I am a true believer that social media is not real life, but unfortunately, I'm seeing social media play out in real life. And yesterday was a painful reminder. A day where a monster walks in and kills six people. And what do we turn into? We turn into talking about how we hate the other side. That's not right. That can't continue. And it's just painful to see. It's painful to see it play out. You know, while people are having these political debates, talking how much they hate the other side, you know, it's interesting. Two people who could not be more different than each other were on The Daily Show together. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I just don't understand how we let these difference of opinions completely dominate how we feel about someone. You like this person, you voted for this person, and that's why I hate you. And we also stop any kind of debate, any kind of conversation. Oh, you don't agree with this? Well, I'm going to cancel you. Oh, you think this? Well, I'm going to make sure you never get a job again. When we say tone down the political temperature, tone down the rhetoric, let's have a little love for each other. You would think it would play out after a tragedy like yesterday. Instead, it's right back to how much we hate people who don't think like us, how much we hate the other side. And, you know, unfortunately, on a day like that, where six people are dead, we should see compassion. We should see people talking about how awful this is. What can we come together and do? And we saw anything but that. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on the show. My name's Joe Beamer, filling in for Tom Bowerly, back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.